Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, we are excited to start a new, do a little bit of a different show today. We don't have a guest. We're just going to be chatting a little bit. Yeah, Tanya and I.
I always love times like that. Just chat away about all sorts of things, right?
Exactly. And it's a little kind of a spontaneous topic because we found out earlier today we didn't have a guest. So then we have to we throw some probably even more, very important information that I've been thinking about quite a bit for all you Lyme sufferers out there. And that relates to what's going on with COVID vaccines and how that relates to our Lyme disease.
Yeah, and I really think it's an important topic. So maybe that's why we didn't have a guest today, because it was time for us to have a little chat about this and share what we know.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, what are your thoughts in regards to all of this that's going on right now?
Well, first of all, it's just really sad kind of what's going on with how we're kind of trying to be ruled, and if you want to go outside pretty much, then you need to get the vaccine. And it's just really sad because it's taking away our rights. That's my first issue I have with it. But I've just, there's always both sides to everything, and everybody has their own opinion. But it truly is the statistics we've seen with people getting the vaccine that have been healthy has all of a sudden now have autoimmune diseases, especially Lyme sufferers that have been in remission for quite some time. Now their Lyme is back from the vaccine. So there's a lot of things to really think about when it comes to the vaccine.
And that's been a big issue, and I've seen that with a lot of my patients as well. I mean, there are two areas, actually, I would say three areas that really kind of stand out a lot. One is the reactivation of hidden infections or infections that are under control, like Lyme disease, Epstein-Barr, other type of herpes viruses, fungal, mold, all of these I've seen kind of really pop up more in response to they've had the virus or they've gotten the vaccine. So it seems like these the spike proteins in themselves are the ones that are triggering this activation. And then you have the people dealing with cancer. Like, for instance, I have a gentleman that got cancer quickly after the vaccine, and he strongly believes that it is vaccine, this is an executive. I mean, so it's a highly educated individual. And then I know myself and other doctors in my field saying that you have these other cancer patients that have been in remission for 5-10 years, and they've been doing great. They get the vaccine, and then all of a sudden, boom, it is worse than ever. And then you're talking about the autoimmune, like MS, Crohn's, colitis, rheumatoid arthritis. All these things also seem to really kind of flare up.
Right, and there's too many people for it to be a coincidence.
Yeah.
So it's definitely vaccine related for sure.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Exactly.
So then you have to kind of balance out pros versus cons. What are the pros of the vaccine? What are the cons? What are the benefits of it? And in reality, I mean, I know there's a lot of media hype, but I have a lot of friends at ICU and they're. And if it was that effective, I mean, would you think that we would need to keep doing booster shots?
Exactly. What is the booster shot all about? Exactly.
Yeah.
Back many years ago when I was in elementary school and you went in and you got all of your shots, it was kind of a one-time deal. You get one shot for for each, you know, chicken pox or whatever. And so what is this booster about? They just are going to keep doing a booster every 6 months? And
yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense to me. Either it works or it doesn't work. And if it works, the individual should be protected and shouldn't have to be afraid of other people that are not vaccinated. And then if it doesn't work, then you shouldn't do it.
But exactly. You know, yeah. And speaking of, does it work? It's not even a full protection from getting COVID.
No.
Because, no. And they even say that you can get COVID immediately after the vaccine.
And that has been seen a lot of times. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of people that I, you know, personally know as in friend circle over and above, you know, patients is that they get the vaccine and then they get the COVID and they get it even worse. And some of their friends that are not vaccinated and they're all confused about that. You know, I thought I was not going to get it and now I'm getting it and it was really, really bad.
Yeah. And it's a lot, I think, in the news media. People, I mean, I actually have pretty intelligent people that are coming to me saying, no, there's a cure for COVID. It's the vaccine. And, you know, they're intelligent people coming with me with this information. And so it's the media that, you know, is just sharing a lot of false information when it comes to exactly what the vaccine is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of, it seems like there's just a lot of kind of hyped up information. And if you're looking then at, you know, what are some of the financial benefits, and I think, like, you know, for each booster shot, you know, I just learned that, you know, I think Pfizer and Moderna, they make about $6 billion per booster shot.
How much?
$6 billion.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Wow. I think they'll be coming out with a booster shot about every quarter, right?
Exactly. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. So and that kind of then, you know, questions just start to come in. Yeah. And whether, you know, how legitimate this is and what the kind of real reason behind it. Yeah. If we're seeing these kind of negative impacts, you know, just what I'm seeing, and I'm, you know, friends that are actually dying right after getting the shot. And it doesn't mean, again, that there aren't people dying from COVID, because that happens as well.
Yeah. Right. And COVID is real.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, trying to tell people that it's not a real thing.
Yeah.
It is a real thing, and it can be very dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we do want to protect ourselves. But I also think that, in my personal opinion, the vaccine is more dangerous than COVID to me. Especially as a Lyme sufferer and a person in Lyme remission, mm-hmm. It's a big thing for me.
Yeah, and I think the people that really need to be concerned are people are dealing with, you know, chronic infectious disease, mm-hmm. people past history of cancer or current cancer, or dealing with autoimmune. You know, so those I think you really need to be cautious about. But then you have also this kind of unknown factor with all the young men that are dying from myocarditis. Yeah, they're getting. So here you have healthy individuals that have no prior health history, and all of a sudden they keel over from, you know, inflammation of the heart.
Yeah, that's just it. Something's got to be. Just more information has got to be out there. You know, shared with the public about what it really is, what COVID is, first of all, and what the vaccine's all about, mm-hmm. and what it does protect, supposedly, and what it doesn't protect. And so that's why I think this is going to be an important show for listeners.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree. And you have the issue in medicine, you always want to have what's called informed consent, meaning that you as a consumer, as a patient, you should know both the benefit and the dangers of any kind of medical treatment. And that's what's considered informed consent.
Absolutely.
So it is then the doctor's responsibility to be able to offer that to the patient, saying that these are, you know, the benefits that we see that this could have, you know, and this is proven by science. So you got to kind of show it, you know, real studies. And obviously, this vaccine has not been around long enough to really have long-term studies in any ways. Right. So we can't really know the full benefit, and we can't really know the full danger because it just hasn't been around. But then also then to be able to say that these are what we are seeing, you know, according to VAERS, you know, which is the vaccine injury, you know, for people that are injured by vaccines. That's how they report. And this is CDC that's kind of helped set this up. You know, like 17,000 people have died. You know, so
right.
So that is should be part of the informed consent, or that there, you know, 700,000 plus people with, you know, adverse reactions from these.
Exactly. If you're going to inform your patients, you need to do the pros and the cons, mm-hmm. and you need to be completely open on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, no kind of leaning you towards one way or the other. You just need to share the facts and then let it be up to the individual patient to decide if that's, you know, something that they want to do, if they want to take the risk of things versus, you know, maybe if they're elderly, they're afraid, you know, their doctors say that, you know, if you get COVID, that's, you're probably not going to make it through, you know. Those are things that you can share, but in the end result, it should be the patient's decision. Okay. And that's just not really kind of where things are going right now.
No, exactly. It's just saying that you're socially irresponsible if you are not doing this, and you are the reason why other people are
everybody's
dying.
Getting sick, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was just talking to my mother in Sweden, and they went through this COVID crisis, you know, beautifully in my eyes. They didn't have any lockdowns. They didn't do any social distancing. They didn't do any of those things, and I don't think they did any masks either. You know, they may have been a little bit here and there, but it was nothing really mandated in any way. And they really did well. They fared well. I mean, there were elderly that died, but that happens with pneumonia. It happens with
the flu.
Exactly, and it tends to hit the elderly more. So now, but Swedes are very, you know, socially conscious. You know, so they are, I think about 80% of them are vaccinated. And what's interesting is she was saying that, you know, the COVID now is getting really bad in Sweden. So now they're actually considering lockdowns and, you know, regulations. And it's interesting now after the vaccine is introduced that now it's starting to get bad.
So it's kind of
an interesting scenario.
Yeah, at a rate of 80% vaccinated, and their numbers are increasing.
Yeah.
So that right there, you know, kind of tells a lot.
It does. And then you have countries like Israel and Iceland, you know, people that are highly vaccinated, and they are really, they're looking at the vaccinated individuals as being the vulnerable group now, because they are dealing with so many effects, you know, from the vaccines.
Yeah. So we here in the States, we really need to get on board with that.
Yeah. Let's follow that pattern.
Yes, exactly.
So, but I mean, and with that though, I still want to have the sensitivity, because you have, you know, the people that are, there's so much pressure, you know, so the government knows that it can't really mandate something, because that's against our constitutional rights. So what they do then is that they go to companies and say that if you have any contract with us, in any shape or form, in order for you to be able to keep that contract, you need to show 100% vaccination rate. And so that puts a lot of pressure, obviously, on these bigger companies to make sure, even though maybe they don't believe in this themselves, they don't want to do that on their employees themselves, they're strong-armed by the government to be able to push for mandating this vaccine within the work environment, you know, because the government knows that it can't, but then they know that the company can, you know, put regulations within itself.
Right, exactly. You know, and it's really disrupting lives, because you need to work, you need to make a living, and, you know, OSHA is one of them that is demanding that everybody get vaccinated. So anybody that has any part to do with OSHA, which is a multiple different types of, you know, careers out there, construction, et cetera, they're being mandated to get the vaccine. And that's how they're getting away with it, because you either work and support your family or you get no job.
Yeah, exactly. And that becomes really, and it's sad that people have to choose between these things, you know, to either supply, you know, or support their family. And with that, then be put out to have a medical treatment that they, one, you know, they don't feel they need because they're healthy.
Right.
And then two, they, you know, don't know the safety record of it. And three, they've seen that many people have become damaged or even died from it. So to be pushed, you know, and forced to do something like that, you know, it's really sad.
It really is. And, you know, we're, as adults, we should be able to make our own decision. And as being, I'm not a parent, but I have a lot of friends that are parents, and with them starting to do mandates for the schools with the children, you know, it's just, you should have your own right to how you want to treat your child, you know, with all of the things about, you know, it could, you know, ruin your reproductive system. You may not be able to have children. There's not enough knowledge and enough history with the vaccine to know if it's safe, and to be able to have to put your child in harm's way is just, it's really scary and it's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I interviewed on my other radio show called Health Made Radio, interviewed Dr. Don Huber. He was retired as the assistant director for medical intelligence in the armed forces. So he was a general.
Okay, wow.
So he had a big position.
He's, you know, right. Yeah, he knows a little bit.
All medical intelligence, and he was the assistant director of that. And he was around during the swine flu, you know, the original swine flu, and he was the one that orchestrated the vaccination at that time. And they decided to stop that vaccine, you know, because almost 60 people died from it.
Wow, 60 people.
almost 60. So they stopped that vaccination. Here we're looking at like 17,000. We're still going, and that's just this year.
Right.
But what he was mentioning in regards to this vaccine is that it binds to, it blocks where the sperm binds to the egg.
Okay.
It blocks, so which means that, you know, we will have a harder time, obviously, to fertilize that egg, you know, if we're vaccinated. And then also it the receptor or the location where the egg, you know, attaches to the uterine wall, it, you know, the spike proteins from this vaccine blocks that as well. You know, so it really does have an impact on our reproductive and it'd be interesting to see now when they're vaccinating younger children to see the impact it will have on our birth rate. And
And unfortunately, you know, we won't know that for many years. And, you know, that's the other scary thing, is just not having the facts and the history of it. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, these children, they should be able to make that decision for themselves as well, at least walk through it with their parents. So yeah, it's very scary.
Yeah, exactly. And here we have then a group of people, the children that were really not touched by COVID in any way. Mm-hmm. They breezed through it because as a youngster, your immune system is stronger.
Right.
So now we're introducing potentially harmful agents into them to treat something that is not a danger to them.
Right. Exactly. Kind of like, you know, don't fix something if it's not broken.
Yeah, exactly. And regards to then the Lyme, I mean, since this is a Lyme show, the issue then becomes, I mean, what we've seen is that it actually downregulates the what's called the CD8, or it's a part of the immune system. Their toll receptor. So what that means in English means that, you know, the part of the immune system that continually, you know, seeks out cancer cells and pathogens, that part of the immune system gets downregulated by the vaccine, which means that our ability to recognize infections and and cancer cells, it becomes greatly challenged. So, you know, things that, you know, and obviously infectious agents, they are opportunistic, you know, so. Right. If there's no police there, the criminal is going to rob the store.
Exactly.
And, yeah. So now we are downregulating the activity of the police force in the body, which means that all the criminals that are nervous to go and you know, plunder, so to say, see that all of a sudden, you know, there's aren't that many police out there. So now we can go out and about doing things.
You know, and it kind of takes away from... you know, the saying or the knowledge that our bodies are designed to heal themselves.
Yeah.
And if you're injecting it with something that is going to be interfered with your immune system, amongst other things, it kind of takes away, you know, how our bodies were designed to work. So
exactly. I mean, our immune system has been fantastically made, and it's worked and dealt with infectious agents for
decades. No. This we have history on.
yeah, exactly.
This we have a lot of history on.
Yeah, exactly. So so we have an immune system that is wonderfully made, and it's educated in a way that when there is an infectious agent, it upregulates and goes after that agent. And then when it's not actively having to engage in that, it downregulates with the part of the immune system, the antibodies that it doesn't need to have active, and then it just has the memory of that in what's called, you know, T cell memory. You know? Mm-hmm. And what they found is that, you know, people that have been exposed to things like SARS in the past, you know, and these respiratory viruses, they have a T cell immunity still, and this even if it's like 10, 15, 20 years later.
Okay.
So we do have that memory from that, but we don't need antibodies all the time. So by continually ramping up antibodies against one specific agent means that we're taking all our police force and just focusing on one type of criminal, and so that we're not looking upon everyone else, which means that our energy and resources are not being able to look for Lyme or look for other herpes viruses or look for Babesia or Bartonella. Yeah, it is continually just looking for the spike proteins, and because that's an aggravating factor, because the vaccine, I mean, what it actually does, it creates like a spike protein manufacturer, like a factory that because it puts in genetic material in the DNA and then tells the DNA to continually make, you know, these spike proteins. Mm-hmm. So and it's going to wear the immune system out.
Right, especially if we're adding all these boosters on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. And usually the boosters is because you are wearing the immune system out. So now you have to stress the immune system even more to kind of stay focused on this one particular, you know, pathogen.
Right. So there are so many people out there that, you know, and they have the right to acknowledge how they feel and their thoughts on the vaccine. We're not here to say not to get it. We're just here to share some facts with everybody. Mm-hmm. And but a lot of people don't know that there could be side effects from people that are not vaccinated from those that have been vaccinated. Can you tell us kind of how that process works? Is it called shedding? Or
so we have in the old with the regular vaccines that we've had, you know, the term shedding is appropriate, because then you have, as you get injected by a virus or live virus and you get an immune system response to that, mm-hmm. and then you're actually shedding that virus, and that's known, because then, you know, if I'm vaccinated and I'm close to you, then I can be shedding and you get that infection, you know, so you can then get affected from me being vaccinated. So in this scenario, we're not injecting any virus. We're actually injecting genetic material. So we are not really shedding any virus per se. So we're more transferring genetic material, mRNA. And then, so I can then be transferring that mRNA onto you, and then your immune system will be reacting to that.
Wow.
So, and I've seen that, you know, I've seen, I have patients that dealt with it. I have, For instance, a gentleman that was driving with his daughter, for 11 hours in the car, they were in the same car. She was just newly vaccinated, and it's vaccinated is kind of a loose term because it's not really a vaccine.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of but they're still calling it that so that we don't feel that it's different than what they've had in the past, but it is quite different because it's new technology. But he was in the car with his daughter for 11 hours, and after the trip was done, next day he ended up in ICU, and he was really bad off. I mean, I'm not sure if he made it or not, but
wow.
So this was a patient that was talking about her father and kind of driving with her sister, obviously. And so, yes, I'm not sure if he made
it
or not,
just...
but he was
That's
on
horrible.
Ventilator and
yeah. Wow, yeah. And I know that, I'm very active in the Lyme community, and I actually know of a few people, and one of them is one of my personal friends that got infected from getting a massage by somebody who had just been vaccinated. So it's a real thing out there, and I think a lot of people have never heard about that, so... I'm glad you kind of explained how that works because, for us that don't want to be vaccinated versus people that want to be vaccinated, there's two sides to every story. You know, we think we don't want to be around people that have been vaccinated, but then a vaccinated person doesn't want to be around somebody not vaccinated. So, but again, it should all go back to being our own right and our decision. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting, the government and the different agencies work around on how to mandate these.
Yeah, exactly. And that's our constitution. I mean, that's what made America so great is mm-hmm. are these, inherent rights that we have. And not that the Constitution gave us these rights. It was that the Constitution delineated our natural rights that are God-given. And it's important to understand that these, we have rights as an individual, and by allowing other people to trample on our rights, we then acknowledge, that we are letting go of our rights, and somebody else can take them away from us.
Right, and it's scary how that's happening in our day and age now. Just so much controversial over this. But again, I think it goes back to we don't have enough history. There's just not enough history on what can happen to patients that get vaccinated, mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of what is it going to be like for these children when they turn into, starting to wanting to have a family. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Well, that could be 20 years down the road from now. So... Yeah,
exactly. And if they do booster shots, twice a year, so right. that's 12 million a year. 20 years, that's 240 million.
Yeah.
Or $240 billion. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. It's and I'm sure that they're probably going to squeeze in more than two boosters a year.
Yeah,
for that kind of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's good money, and they have no liability, meaning that nobody can go after them.
Exactly. And exactly.
What's interesting is that the research has been done in kind of a university setting, which is then governmentally supported. So the government is supporting the manufacturing of this and the research behind it. But then they are reaping the benefit, but they're using our insurance dollars and our tax dollars to pay for them through the government. So we feel like it's free, but we're paying for them. Strong-armed in a way, whether we get it or not.
Right, right. All the money that they're making, they are giving it back into the community, because I'm not sure where they are at on it now, but they were actually offering cash payments to people to get the vaccine. I mean, that alone kind of speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. And then you're curious, kind of, where is that cash coming from? Well, it's probably our tax dollars.
Exactly.
So we're paying ourselves to make us excited to get something we otherwise wouldn't get.
Exactly said.
Yeah. So, Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So with this vaccine, I mean, I'm just kind of looking at some of the impacts of the COVID vaccines here that's been kind of documented. You have Guillain-Barré syndrome, autoimmune neurological disease. And it's interesting, I have an ICU friend, and he, Guillain-Barré syndrome wasn't that common. And then all of a sudden, he's seeing lots of cases of it after the vaccine, these other vaccinated population. So obviously, so that's just his observation, but here we have it statistically as well, that's something that really shows up much. And then, you have the menstrual disorders, miscarriages, birth defects. So, VAERS are showing already 2,000 post-vaccination miscarriages. And it was a midwife, and this was a friend of a friend. It sounds distant, but not that distant. I mean, you have this midwife, and she hadn't lost a baby, and I can't remember how long of a track record that she hadn't lost a baby before that was a miscarriage. And then all of a sudden, 9 out of 10 had miscarriages, and they were all vaccinated. So that was kind of that's kind of upsetting in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
We talked about the myocarditis, the heart inflammation, heart attacks, cardiac arrest, So you have within the heart and also with the blood vessels, you have what's called ACE2 receptors, and that's where the spike proteins lock in. So, and spike proteins, when we get the vaccine, I mean, the COVID, virus in itself, has these spike proteins, and that's what they kind of lock into tissue
sticks
and cells.
To us, right,
So with the vaccine, all we're doing is that we're manufacturing that spike protein. But the issue is that it may be the spike protein that we are having the health effects from, the negative effects from, and not really the virus. So here we're manufacturing, we're injecting ourselves with the thing that we don't want.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a tough subject. It definitely is a tough subject for, a lot of people. And again, I go back to the people that, are possibly having to make their choice of supporting their family or getting something that they don't want to get.
Exactly. And I did a presentation at another symposium talking about, if you do get the vaccine, or you are living with somebody that has the vaccine and you're afraid of that, there's going to be a transfer, want to protect yourself. So the things then to address, and I explained this, one, you want to address, where the spike proteins attaches to the ACE2 receptor. So you want to be able to block that. You also want to deal with the work on the endothelial lining, the inflammation along the blood vessels, because that is a big deal.
Okay.
And that can cause in the heart attacks, the blood clots and all these. And then also it seems to downregulate how you produce energy. So the mitochondria. So these are the different things that is good then to work on, if you are then concerned. And obviously the clotting risk is huge, So then to use things that are anti-clotting agents, natural anti-clotting, you have like ginkgo biloba, but you also have like nadokinase, is a systemic enzyme that helps to kind of break down clots that would be a really good thing to do at a high dose, if you are then choose to be vaccinated for whatever reason. And I have no judgment against anyone getting vaccinated.
Absolutely,
It's just everyone should have the right and freedom to be able to make their own decision.
Right, and the facts too,
yeah.
The information behind it. So as far as being able to transfer that from a vaccinated person to a non-vaccinated person, is it true that it's only transferable for a few weeks, or is that known yet?
I don't think that's known yet. There's so much unknown we're trying to figure out, mm-hmm. But it seems like obviously the first period after the vaccine seems to be the most dangerous one.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that statistically what they are changing is that you're not fully vaccinated until you have the booster shot now, which means that if you are reacting to the vaccine, you're still considered unvaccinated, you know, because you haven't had the booster shot. So it is... Yes, it's still so unknown, you know, when
we don't know. Yeah.
When kind of that transferring stops, you know, and maybe it's a higher dose initially because the body is under shock and it's trying to shed that mRNA and trying to get rid of it, but then it kind of suppresses the system and it realizes it can't really get rid of it because it keeps being produced in your genetic code. So then it maybe just kind of gives up. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, and so it's scary for both sides of the party. Like I said earlier, you know, if you're afraid of being around unvaccinated people because you think you're going to get COVID from it, you know, the unvaccinated are just afraid of you that are vaccinated.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And I think it's important then to recognize that because I think probably the biggest disease that we are having over and above, you know, this COVID vaccine versus unvaccinated or mask versus non-mask or all these different lines that they're drawing to kind of split people up, I think it is the separation that people are becoming afraid of people and starting to judge other people and look upon other people as the enemy. And I think that division is the biggest disease that I think in the country. And I think this fear that generates, that really suppresses the immune system and really puts you in a place to not being able to fight infectious agents that you may be dealing with, like if it is Lyme or Epstein-Barr or whatever, or cancer. You know, if you are in a state of fear, cortisol level is going to go up, immune system is going to go down, and you're going to be more susceptible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just so many ways, you know, and a lot of people joke and talk about if you want to stay friends, don't talk politics. Well, you know, it's almost kind of come down to that with COVID and the vaccine, is that, like you say, it's really dividing our country, and it's just sad. It's just sad. And it's scary to know, you know, where we're going to be this time next year with everything. So,
and that is, you know, for I'm a business owner, and there are a lot of, you know, kind of small business owners out there, recognizing that you don't know what your business is going to look like in a year, because the government can pull pretty much anything, and you really have no idea if you don't dare to make investment to grow. There's a lot of unknown.
So much is put on hold. Yeah,
exactly. So, and then as a private person, you have a hard time to kind of plan things ahead as well, because you just don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure for you, it's gotta be tough. You know, I know with you being a holistic doctor and treating natural, you know, you have a lot of feelings about this and how it does on our body. And, you know, you just want to go about your regular day and help people get healthy, but yet you have this to have to worry about as well. So,
And one thing is that I don't know how many patients have gone into the hospital, or not patients, people that I know that gone into the hospital, and they, I mean, they're giving remdesivir and then put on a ventilator and then they die. Yeah, and I've had so many of these, and we've had to almost, because we've seen that pattern so many times and it doesn't seem to be working and really helping people, we've been trying to get them out of the hospital as quickly as possible so that we can give them things like, you know, vitamin C IV and ozone IV and, you know, vitamin D, heavy dose vitamin D, A, and ivermectin, and things that you know, seem to really help a lot of people in this situation. I mean, obviously we can't say that it cures anything, but it just really seems to be helping the immune system and the individual then to turn around. So I've seen tremendous comeback from people with high volumes of being on oxygen, and then you start these type of therapies and they do better. You know?
Yeah. And you know, I think that A lot of people are even concerned about going to the hospital because it seems as though you go to the hospital, if you get put on a ventilator, it's kind of the end of it, you know. So a lot of people do understand that you're better off to try to treat yourself at home. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, there's always a time and place when it's necessary to go to the hospital. But for the most part, if you have the capability to be able to take preventative things to help yourself, you're better off to do it that way.
Yeah. And that comes to a sad point. I was talking to a surgeon, a good friend of mine, and he's really expressing how upset he is that people are now afraid to go to the place that's supposed to help them, you know,
right,
to go to the hospital. And that is upsetting that perception is being created. Mm-hmm. And sad to say, I mean, I would say that, you know, if there was not any truth in that, I don't think it would have happened. But
right.
Somehow, yeah, there is truth to that. And also yeah. they are, so then people are waiting until they come to a point where, you know, it's too late. You know?
Right.
And so when they could have done things ahead of time.
Exactly, yeah.
And I know as some, I mean, like another ICU friends of mine, they were turning around patients, you know, they were dealing with COVID and saying, yeah, I'll come back when your lips are blue. Pretty much.
Right. Yeah. No, I had a personal close family friend that he was in ICU and on oxygen. He wasn't intubated, but he was on oxygen for several days. He had not been improving. But then somebody came in that was sicker and they literally kicked him out of the hospital. And this is in, you know, not a huge city, but a fairly large town. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, like you said, we're supposed to trust the hospital when we go there, and to not be well and take the oxygen off of you and send you home, you know, things just don't sound right all the way around about this.
No, yeah, there's a lot of questions and a lot of concerns, and yeah, so that's why I really thought that this show was important, so that we could just kind of bring some of that to light, and then, mm-hmm. you know, whether people feel that these are valid concerns or not. I mean, that's to the listeners. I just wanted to see, I mean, I've been exposed to this, you know, quite a bit, you know, these last couple of years since, year and a half, I guess. And also, you know, talked to a lot of experts in this field, and obviously worked with a lot of people dealing with COVID and you know, seeing people that that are lost to COVID and also lost to the vaccine. So, mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we're able to give some information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that with anything in life, you know, the more information, it's just the more powerful tools that you have. So just simply by sharing some statistics about what you've done and just some things maybe that a lot of people don't know about, mm-hmm. you know, just get more information from us here on a podcast versus maybe in the news media, mm-hmm. you know, we can share, be a little bit more honest about what exactly really is going on. So,
yeah, and just have open discussions. You know, I think if we allow scientists and doctors to have open discussions, and it doesn't mean that you agree with everything that everyone's
right.
saying, but if you at least have open discussions that are not censored, I think we're able to come to a better solution rather than, you know, just kind of whitewashing everything and just making, you know, pushing one agenda, sort of saying, which is
absolutely.
Kind of what it seems like.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it was a great time to talk about this topic and just share some information.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging with me.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.